up, everybody, and welcome back to Hold On to your edges. I am Angel Akita Moore, also known as That Chick Angel. I'm one of your hosts. Tell them who you are, Bree.
I'm Bree Shawell, and I'm your other host. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. Well, you know what? That's a lot. I'm doing okay. That's more of the truth. I'm doing okay. And what about yourself?
I'm doing okay. You know, we staying alive. You know, I'm glad that everybody now has an eye-opening experience to what it's like to be in our life.
In our skin.
You know, I'm getting a lot of questions nowadays. Like, so is this really what you've been going through this whole time? Like, welcome
to my skin. Now, if you're not watching this, you don't realize that we have someone who is so multi-hyphenate in the guest seat that, like, you got to play leap pad to jump from one hyphen to the next in all of the things that she does. So, Brisha, please introduce our glorious, wonderful guest.
Give it up for my multifaceted, multi-hyphenated, multi-talented friend, Nefertari Spencer.
Actress, writer, producer, actress,
comedian, everything. Mm-hmm. Smashes it down. She's also one of the stars of Sherman Showcase. Mm-hmm. I've been working with her, and you can watch that on Juneteenth. June 19th.
Yes. And women, what's the other? This the other show? Not the shot. It's not the shot. It's the other one.
Southside.
Yes.
Southside. Central.
It's on Comedy Central. One of the funniest shows you'll ever watch.
She's also written for several award shows. I would say probably one of the funniest sketches that have been pulled off in an award show was done recently and written by Nefertari, which was the BET Awards that was hosted by Regina.
Yes.
Nefertari wrote some of the funniest things that that award show has seen. So, yes. Bravo to you.
They didn't deserve you.
Thank you.
They didn't deserve you. But if this is y'all's first time ever tuning in to Hold On To Your Edges, you better hold on to them because we about to get into it, okay?
Snatch
him
back for you.
We're going to snatch him back. And we're going to start off with a little song because the Lord has given me something on my heart.
Yeah.
And because my wonderful, what I like to call my immediate family, my Patreon members, they have been here, you know, just giving us some of the greatest ideas to allow us to give you all these platinum hits. Yes, episode after episode. I'm gonna start us off, and I'm gonna do a little cue from what Brisha was talking about, people understanding what it's like to be in our skin. All right. So you finally found out what's like to be in my brown skin. All you ever really wanted is have my big lips because yours are so thin. But you don't realize there's so much more when you have this black skin. And the police come at the door because when you black, life can sometimes be whack. Boom, boom. Take it away, Brisha. Boom, boom.
I'm black. And I like it like that.
She likes it like that.
I'm black.
She likes it like that.
People try to take my groove thing, but they never can take my song. Because I'm black. And I like it like that. I like to dance on beat. I like to do crazy things with my voice. They can't do that either. I make a lot of jokes when shit ain't fun now. Mm-hmm. And they can't do that either. Cause I'm back. Take it away now.
Well, these two ladies already explained to you that we are Black queens. That's for you to understand. We two queens and three queens. We got kings. We wear rings. We drink Tennessee. We drink water. We drink our tea too. We ain't no fool. We sick and tired of y'all standing on our necks. We sick and tired of y'all cutting off our breath. We sick and tired of y'all blocking our face. We sick and tired of you talking about my race. I said we Black girls. I said we Black girls. Black men. Black men.
Yeah. Yes, yes, with the hold that ear. Oh yes, that was great. That was great.
Break on home with the stepping on my necks and
I know. I think we just came up with the theme song for this revolution that we're in. That's what I think. And I like it like that.
I like it like that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's what they needed. That's what the world needs right now. So, yes, you guys, I'm glad we were able to bless you with that. But we're going to jump into some snatchable moments that have been happening this week. There's so many. I mean, I feel like my edges have been blown to smithereens this week.
I didn't even know edge control today because she tired, y'all. She tired.
Obviously, something that snatched my edges, but in a good way, was that finally all four officers were arrested and the charges were upgraded to second degree murder. That snatched my edges. It feels like one small step towards justice. The only thing I will say that has me just a little bit apprehensive is that, you know, we want all of these charges to stick. Yeah. So sometimes if you go too heavy, there's more of a chance because of the parameters around what you're saying happen. You know, first degree is premeditated murder. Second degree isn't premeditated. So like, I'm glad that they're going for second degree murder, but like, I had to look that up. But I know like manslaughter could stick. Like, no doubt. You know what I'm saying? That could be proven without a shadow of doubt. But that means that the consequence would be, you know, pulled back. So anyways, that was a snatchable moment because, you know, there are people who have been who have been murdered a long time ago and still charges ain't been brought up on the people that took them out. So the fact that George Floyd hasn't even been gone for a month in their charges, I'm like, okay, America. Okay. America. Doing something finally. Did y'all see the video? My husband posted a video of like all the protests around the world. Have y'all seen that video? Like of all the protests?
I haven't seen all of them, but I remember one time I was watching when I was looking at Instagram. Mm-hmm. I just started weeping when I saw the
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Denmark.
Like, I was like, and for them to be marching with so much fervor and like so much power, and they were just like so about Black Lives Matter and trying to find out how they can make their injustices happen and, you know, not happen anymore and make things happen and be better. That just made me cry because I was like, wow, if you can understand it over there,
come on,
you know, it's happening over there too.
Yeah, but it's. Yeah, I get it. Crying, my eyeballs were welling up. I was like, "Y'all care about us in New Zealand?
Y'all care about us in New Zealand?
Oh,
I know about that girl in New Zealand is the girl that be choreographing for J Lo.
I learned the dance because I like her.
I'm gonna say this one last thing, and I'm gonna let y'all talk about your Snatchable Edges moment. And there was also one that really almost snatched the tears out of my eyes. And Brisha knows I'm not a crier. You know what I'm saying? I don't cry much. I just be like, "Yep, it is what it is. That's where we're gonna be." There was one of the people protesting with us in Africa. And this older woman had a sign that said, "Africa, rise up for your children." I was like, "We are children." Like it did. It definitely. That one almost got me. That one almost brought me to the ground. And I said, "Get off of Instagram, Angel. Get off of Instagram."
Your children.
Yeah, I was like, that's right. Rise up for us. Listen, because daddy ain't doing right. Mama, you got to come back and get us. Help us.
Can we visit? Because I've been there a couple of times.
Yes, yes. So what was your Snatchable Edges moment?
The Snatchable Edges moment for me has been just this whole time. From Saturday when the protest started, not being a part of it, but seeing everything and just seeing how people were reacting. It was just like watching a horrible movie, you know, a movie that needed to happen. It was a part of the movie that needed to happen. What chapter of Revelations is this?
Come on.
I was like, okay, we got the pandemic. And just as soon as we were getting through the pandemic, then it was just like, boom, 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 boom. You know, so that's really what snatched my edges. And to see, you know, Mr. 45, whatever his name is in there. I know who he is, but, you know, just what he was tweeting. And for people now to see what we have been yelling and what we've been pleading for so long.
Right.
The other people, I won't say just white people, because there's some black people that believe the same thing.
Yeah, come on.
You know, but for people to start opening up their minds a little bit to see how it is on the other side and to see so much injustice and say, wow, we really do need to do something. Is this really how you feel? And I'm like, yeah, welcome.
You're welcome.
People all day, you know, and getting those phone calls, white people just saying, I love you. And I was like, okay, now I love you too. Now go talk to your grandpappy. And your aunties don't like the same shit.
How many white folk called you? Because I had, and I want you to answer that question too, Nefertari, because I've had a lot of my white friends have reached, texted me just to like be like, I love you. I care about you. Thinking about you. How many of yours have done that, Brisha, in Nefertari?
I've had about 12. 12 text messages, 12, you know, DMs. And I tell them all the same thing. I love you too, because this isn't about you and me. This is about how we move forward. I believe I know how you feel about the injustices and everything going on. But what you can do with the information that I can lead you to or that you're doing on your own is tell your family members, tell people around in your circles when they make little jokes or when they say things that make you feel uncomfortable, start having those uncomfortable conversations. So there won't be any kind of uproar about who's going to be the president or not. We know.
Right. You
know, we're trying to make a change.
Come on now. What about you, Fatari?
I've had, I think, actually call. I've had text messages. And I've had those text messages also where it's like, what should I do? And, you know, and it's kind of like, I can't really teach in this moment, but I did take it as a teachable moment. I used it as a teachable moment. Like, hey, let me get back to you. And then once I saw that article in the LA Times, and then it was like all these different funds they can donate money to. For the you know, helping to support these families with these attorney fees, because it's going to be
very expensive.
Things like that. So I did, like, I would send links and do stuff like that. Of course, you have the social media aspect of it. But I have to say that some people who have been silent, it doesn't
sit well with you. Do you mean both like across all races, or are you referring to your friends who are non-Black that have been quiet?
Friends who are non-Black that have been silent.
Are they vocal about other things? Like, have they in the past, like when dogs are bought from breeders instead of adopted at, you know, are they like, you should adopt from shelters? Are they like, do they get passionate about other things?
I think, you know, you have those in general, you know, like, I should be at this restaurant and so should Sparky, you know, those types of things. But all lives matter. You know, people I grew up with who were talking about that aspect of it. And we were the first Black family on the street where I grew up. Mm-hmm. So I dealt with a lot of that stuff in the suburbs in outside of Chicago in the suburbs. And there are some families there who were notoriously racist. And there's one in particular who was actually this woman who was my coach. And so I normally don't engage on social media. I'll say what I have to say and I'll start stuff, but I don't really engage. And I couldn't stay silent. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm like, you know me. So for you to not understand that what mm-hmm. we're saying is not, we're saying, hey, everybody matters. Everybody matters. But right now we're trying to say to you, look at what's happening to us and why we're saying, hey, our Black lives matter too. We're not saying you guys don't matter, but we're just like, our Black lives matter too, because we have been talking about this forever. So that was one of my snatchable edges moments where I really had to like come outside and like really mm-hmm. drive the message home. I think it got across though.
Good.
Great. You know, but these are the times where you know who's going to stay with you and who's not invited.
Yeah.
You know? And that speaks more volumes than none.
Yeah.
Another real quick question before we jump on to other stuff, which is still actually this. What is your position? That's what I should say. I've seen a lot of posts about like, we all play different positions in the revolution. Like, we're not all going to be the ones, you know, organizing a whole protest, getting everybody to show up, you know, and then donating, you know, a nice portion of our income, and then being the ones to run for office to make a change. Like, we all have our positions to play. But what do you feel like is the position that you can play best? And then also, what is your position to your white or non-Black friends? Like, for instance, I know I don't have the bandwidth to be an educator. Mm. I can be a source to find resources, but I cannot be the one to educate. I cannot spoon feed you. I have a baby that I have children that I have to teach. So I cannot teach a grown adult something that they can research, right? So that is something that I already knew for myself, so that I would not pour into people when I know they couldn't pour back into me, right? Because I'm not trying to be exhausted. And then the same thing for like the protests and like the whole revolution. I know I don't feel comfortable being out in the COVID streets, not when I have kids that I have to take care of and not when my mother's coming back during a pandemic protesting. But I was like, but I do have a couple extra coins. And I do know how to write a good letter, and I do know how to have a conversation on the phone with politicians and be okay with me not knowing everything, but still holding the conversation and being like, but you're going to explain this to me. So what's really good. Mm-hmm. So what have you decided for you is your positions in the revolution? And also, like you said, Nefertari, you finally found the space to be able to be like, no, I'm about to get with you right now, because ain't no way you shouldn't know that this is wrong. Right. Like, you have the I have the bandwidth to block somebody, but I don't even have that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if you don't get it by now, I'm sorry. Hopefully the Lord will touch your heart, but it won't be me touching it. Right. So what Brisha and Nefertari, what are you all positioning for the revolution? And then also like with your non-Black friends?
Well, I can say for me, I'm still figuring it out, you know, because, and I'm giving myself patience with that, you know, because I felt so angry to go out and be a part of something. And then I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's look at the timeline of all of this. COVID is still out here. So why not? And all the Black people outside to march. Something that they believe in and that they are going to be yelling. They told us not to be around a whole bunch of screaming and yelling. So and now you want to put me out on the street fighting and crying and I want to be hugged by friends. You have me all vulnerable in these COVID streets. So I told myself, Precious, stay your little ass at home with your asthma, and your allergies, okay? Wait until this whole thing calms down. And I see people out there, you know, spray painted. Black people don't spray paint. Spray painted since 92. That's the last time I saw some spray paint. Or a Black person doing that. Black people don't get up out of their bed and say, we're going to protest today. But before we go, let's go to the art supply store. We don't do that.
Let's go to Joanne's and see what they've got. It's
We should go to Home Depot and get some bricks. No, that's not what we do. So as soon as I saw that and saw, you know, the others doing things that, you know, edging people on and instigating and doing all this stuff, there would be no talking for me. Because I just start banging people in the face. That's my Baltimore self. And that's why I can't, little Chihuahua Brescia ain't allowed outside during these times. So my ass got to stay in the house. In the house. So I'm on Instagram. Now I'm up here with these little Twitter fingers going at these people. You know what I'm saying? Making sure they know. You know, and I'm trying to learn too. Like my friend Kendrick Sampson, he's out there on the front lines, you know, and I mean, my heart kind of just broke when I heard that he was getting beat up and it was on camera and, you know, the police were, you know, shooting the guns or what was it?
Rubber bullets.
Like I was like terrified for him because I was invited. He told me he wanted me to come and I texted him and I said, are you okay?
You know, talking about Kendrick who had on the Forever 21 Black Lives Matter shirt.
Listen, don't come from my friend, okay? That's insecure.
I know where he's from. I said, now look at that Forever 21 Spring 2020 Black Lives Matter tank top with his titties out. That's all.
You know, he's a very handsome young man.
He is.
Don't let this little bird chest fool you. We out here.
We out here.
Okay, even a little bird chest. We out here.
He was out there like this.
My little bird ass got to stay in the house.
Yeah, you know? Black lives matter.
Black lives matter, boo. Like, no. And I'm a bang the bitch that be out there taking a whole bunch of photos. I'm not supposed to be out there. Whopping bitches that be up there trying to take Instagram photos. Like, I'm going to get my next Black boyfriend like this.
Yeah.
No.
He's not doing it.
My watch. So, you know? I know my high-tempered ass can't do that.
So
I'm donating and, you know, being on Twitter and trying to figure out how I can continue the conversation and move forward for people to feel comfortable to be uncomfortable. Sharing, you know, articles with people. So, you know, people that really want to know, of course, I'm not at a place to be on the phone and be like, listen, if you didn't know that we was having all these issues back in the day and now we still having them same issues, you think we still not get, we not even over Trayvon. We're not overriding it.
No.
We not over none of this shit. You know, so that's where I go. So I'm not allowed to be on the phone either.
You're not allowed to be. You said, let me just be on Twitter where I can check what I wrote first before I put it up. Check what I wrote
first, you know, just block people the right way.
Right.
Not catch a case.
Okay. So Nefertari, for those of you all who don't follow Nefertari, please make sure you follow her after this podcast. But Nefertari been out here in these streets. She been a real one. She out here combat boots on. Okay,
combat boots, black power, powder puff, go.
Ready?
What? Yeah.
What Nefertari, have you decided is your position in both worlds?
I feel like I fluctuate. I am out here in these streets. I was there on Saturday At the Grove, at Pan, started at Pan Pacific Park, and then went out to Fairfax with Kendrick when all of that went down. Like, I got the footage of that. It's a peaceful protest. It's a, like, you know, at the police, defund the police, and, you know, say their names and all that stuff. And it's like one of those things where you feel there's a range of emotions that you feel from that. You feel rage, you feel sadness. Then you feel hopeful, like, look at all of these people, everybody's there, young, old, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Pan Pacific, whatever. Everybody was out there representing. But the tensions didn't feel like this until we actually, like, once the police came in and barricaded everybody. And we're standing there. There was no curfew. There was nothing going on at this particular point in time. By this time, it's like 4 o'clock. They pulled out those rifle things and they just, like, they were just shooting these rubber bullets at us. And they look like hockey pucks. The ones that they're using here in LA, they look like hockey pucks. They're black rubber, like hockey pucks, shooting at. We're standing here like, hey, you know, say his name, George Floyd, pop, 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 pop. And then the helicopter is like circling and then they gassed and everything. It was craziness. It was mayhem at that point. But a lot of people stood there. Now, what I will say is about this is that that particular day, our allies, I will say this, that I was moved where, like, there was white people. They was like, white allies, get to the front. We need you in the front. Get to the front. Like, to protect. It was like, they was like, we're going to protect these black lives that matter. It's like, I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they got to the front and they was like, yo, like, say his name, George Floyd. When I tell you the police officer was like, it was unreal. It was unreal. And that's where, and Kendrick was right there in the front. He was in the front with them too. It was unreal.
They were fighting the white folk, the white allies. They were punching them in the face.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Lost their damn mind.
They're like,
they not, if they, I'm like, if they beating up Karen.
Yeah. Because you know what? That's the problem with the current way the police is set up. The police is set up for it to be an us versus them situation. And where it's not like, it doesn't feel like they are people that come out of our community to be like, I want to protect the community. It's like, I have joined a brotherhood. And if you come against this brotherhood, it is an us versus you type of situation. And that's the reason why I'm a person that fully believes in defunding the police, because I don't feel like the current structure is set up to honestly help anyone, but it's definitely set up for our detriment. 100%.
Yeah.
But Nefertari, was that your first protest?
Yeah. No. I've been out there for a women's march. I've gone out. I think it was DACA. Those were the DACA.
Oh, I remember that. That's it.
Oh, the undocumented immigrants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else I've done, but no, that's not my first one. So when I was going to this one, I was like, okay, let me get a snack. I had an apple in my bag. I had my phone charger. Like, I had my cap, some sunscreen, like, yeah, water. I was ready because I knew, like, the element, you just kind of be ready to move. I had my mask, my Purell. And, you know, the feeling, honestly, I mean, there's riffraff everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to blend in and pretend like they're down. Well, you know, people are out for self to some degree. So you have that element, but you can see what that element is. But for the most part, everybody is mad peaceful until, you know, then you know, it's like being attacked. So if you notice that lately, once they told, you know, the police stop firing at the people, that it has calmed down a lot, because that was kind of like the igniting thing. So it's kind of like, you gotta fight back because you're like fighting.
Yeah, if you put people in a fight or flight mode,
right?
you can't expect everyone to do flight. Some people's their instinct is fight. It's not, I'm going to run away. It's like, well, then come on then. Yeah. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. So, and I think that was done purposefully to turn these peaceful protests into something that they never were intended to be, but were willing to become if pushed to that place. Yeah, pushed to that level.
The energy and the levels of anger that we're feeling. We're so emotional, you know? Then on top of it, when you get arrested, you become a felon, and felons can't vote.
Right.
So that's also what they want. That's a part of the agenda as well.
The only other thing that I really do is if when it comes to social media or things like that, when people send, you know how you'll get text messages like, did you see this? Or check this out. If it's false, you know, I'm like, this is not true. Take this down. This is not, this is, even there's one thing that was about, there's this photo going about, around. Well, I don't even want to debunk that. But anyway, there's some things that have been going around, and I'm like, no, this is not true. And
right.
You really don't want to be putting stuff out there that makes you look foolish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really want to be about the right. I mean, you really want to be about the right message and saying the right things. You know, like sometimes you can say something. You might say something crazy just out of anger, but it's just a frustration. You know what I'm saying? But you really don't want to be putting out propaganda or anything for that matter that's actually beneficial for
the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm very adamant when it comes, when that type of stuff comes to me, I'm like, yo, that ain't right. Take it down. Here's the facts.
Right.
That's the stances.
I saw one that it was that I could tell was Photoshop. It was a dad with a child on his shoulders and the police pointing their guns.
Oh, that's fake.
When I look at it, I can see the image transposed.
Okay.
Like when I look at the the sun is not shining in the same place on the father and the child that it is on the police. So for me, I'm like, y'all done just cut out this goddamn on daddy and daughter and put them in front of the police to incite more anger than. We got enough anger. We don't need any extra anger. We don't need any fairy tales. Mm-hmm. We have enough anger. We have enough passion. Mm-hmm. Let's not incite. Yeah. So from my point of view, like when I saw it, I was like, somebody didn't shade this. Like, I was like, somebody didn't shade this right. Because the dad and the daughter, the light that's hitting them is hitting them from a different angle than the light that's hitting the police. And the police's eye, even where their eyes were looking, if you look closely, is not in the right direction.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, look at it. So yeah, no, there is unfortunately, there are people on both sides of the fence that are causing this, that are trying to trip up this movement. Mm-hmm. Whether it be in order to keep, you know, not allowing police to be held accountable for their actions, regardless of what badge they carry. You mm-hmm. need to be held accountable for your actions. And if you're not able to handle this type of responsibility, then you don't need a police officer. You don't need to be a police officer, as well as there are some people who consider themselves to be about the movement of Black Lives Matter that want to sometimes fill our minds with falsified facts so that when we are out here trying to really hold our ground, we over here sounding stupid,
right,
with made up information. And we're like, okay, now see, I'm over here trying to hold it down and prove a point, and I'm over here just selling fairy tales that don't make no goddamn sense. We planned on talking about this, so it's not like we're off topic, but we're gonna lighten it up. It up a little bit, but I'm so glad. Thank you, Nefertari, for sharing your experience, because while there are a lot of people that are protesting, there are a lot of people who aren't, and for good reason. So I don't knock anybody who does either or.
Right.
You know, everybody has to make their own choice, and everybody can play a part regardless. But I'm glad that we're able to get your experience, because I've participated in protests before. Never any that had such a visceral feeling to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different. They weren't shooting people with rubber bullets at the Women's March.
No, they were not.
They weren't.
They weren't shooting rubber bullets at the white men that, or, you know, the Trumpettes who were outside saying that they wanted to go back to the gym, you know, just a couple of weeks ago.
With their rifles.
With their rifles.
Right. So, yeah, while I have participated in protests, none that have ever come to a pinnacle where the police have decided that I'd rather harm you than protect you in this moment. So thank you for sharing your perspective, and thank you for being a soldier in the fight. But we wanted to change it up. Tell Ambrisha what we want to talk about today.
I want to talk about just when we go forward back to work. You know, we're all actresses, and how we operate. You know, after this, the conversations that we can have, you know, just to lighten it up, just like, you know, casting directors and how they are casting things, and writers, you know, and how they're, you know, continuing to keep the stereotypes of certain situations. Now there's us when we're laughing at us, and then there's their idea and their depiction of us, you know, and how are we going to be aware of that? How are we going to shut it down? And two, how are we just going to just still keep our job? And also, you know, just give them another twist on that. And I'd love to talk to you about that, because, you know, you being a comedian and a writer and, you know, just everything that you do, you know, how do you imagine going back to work and seeing things, and how we can change the narrative of moving forward after Floyd?
Yeah, I think what is going
on. Wait a minute. It sounds like you're in a pool. I don't know what happened. I was like, am I drunk or is she in a pool?
Are you drunk?
Say something again, Nefertari.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I've been thinking about that. I know what needs to happen is that we need to have more diverse voices, not just in the writer's room, but also in those positions where they develop in development for features, television, whatever. We need to have more diverse voices there who are like, hey, we already told this kind of a story. Why don't we tell this kind of a story and from this perspective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's, we've seen a Cinderella movie 50 million times, and they've done it with different casts, or they've done it with just different a different angle on it, with, you know, with white people,
cultures.
Yeah. So it's like, what about us? So it's like, you know, we should be able to get out here and tell our stories, and these positive stories. We were kings and queens. You know, we can tell these stories also. And they don't necessarily have to always be from the perspective of violence or slavery. Like, I don't have to ever see another slavery movie.
You know, Pete Chapman, who's a director, a black director, that was one thing he had mentioned in one of his posts, is that's why he hates period pieces about racism, because it makes people believe that we are so far from that type of what has happened. Not to say that I need any more movies about the injustices of black people, because I feel like those are really for non-black people more than it is
white people.
Yeah, black people. That's the reason why I feel like Tyler Perry does so well, is because he's, while you know, his stuff be on some highly dramatic stuff, it be on something else. It's not about that stuff, though. It's about like soap opera stuff. Like, black people finally get to have some sort of like fantasy lives of, I lived hard, but then this prince came and saved me, and we were happily ever after. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times when there's like a heavy hitting script that is based around Black people. It is a period piece. It focuses on our struggle. There, we don't get to have any other narrative. Like you're saying, please continue, Nefertari. Sorry.
Well, I think, you know, definitely for the, I think we just need more people in positions of development and also in positions of above the line is what we call it in our industry. Above the line, meaning like more than people who can make decisions. If we have more people that look like us in the positions to make decisions, I think that'll absolutely help.
And absolutely.
I think it'll absolutely help. And I think the people in those positions should not be afraid to speak up, you know, unapologetically about the type of, you know, material that they would like to see made or the scripts that they're reading that they really like. Because I think sometimes people who are in those positions kind of, I don't want to say everybody falls in line, you know, in order to, you know, to keep their jobs. I mean, because we're all doing, we all have had been in positions where, you know, we kind of just have to, you know, dig deep and, you know, mm-hmm. be quiet and get it done. But I think that now that they're ready to listen, that we really need to capitalize on this and really, you know, say this is what we want. And this is what we would like to see made. And this is what we need. Because while they're listening, then maybe they'll embrace it.
Yeah, I feel like what I'm hoping for is that there'll be a resurgence of Black movies that are our actual life. Mm-hmm. You know, our stories, you know, and yes, the way our lives are, it isn't all the Cosby Show. You know, mm-hmm. it isn't perfect. You right. know, you can be at a funeral, like my friend was telling me last night, and he was like, he had his uncle showed up with like four different baby mamas, you know, and it was like all these kids, and they didn't know them, you know, mm-hmm. so they had to keep one over here, and it was like a revolving door of, oh, you know, but that is funny. And yeah. that happens in our culture too,
yeah.
along with the Cosbys, along with, you know, yeah. business owner and all of these things. We all have so many similarities. And I love that stuff that they did on SNL years back. And I believe Jamie Foxx was on there and they had like, it was like a Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. they were showing like, they were like, you know, the Blacks and, you know, the country, you know, rednecks and how they were like, we hate each other, but they got the same answers right.
Oh, yeah, you know? I remember that yes, sketch.
I love that sketch because it shows that we have more similarities than not, you know, when it comes to family dynamics and when they show us together and how, yes, our walk is different than theirs, okay? First and foremost. Was a setup.
100%.
Was a setup for us. So we ain't the same, but we also can look at each other and laugh.
Yeah.
And become friends at just how similar we are in family dynamics.
Well, you know, I feel like that's one reason why somebody like Issa Rae ended up becoming what she has been able to become. I remember watching Awkward Black Girl when it was still on the internet.
Yeah.
And seeing a story that I knew existed but had never been told mm-hmm. because we're so pigeonholed as Black women of what we are able to do, what our response to experiences are. So to see the Awkward Black Girl represented, which I have been the Awkward Black Girl. I've had friends who are the Awkward Black Girl, but that's not in the world that we operate in as far as in entertainment, something that is ever highlighted. They usually give that to the redheaded white lady, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But seeing Issa, you know, choosing to tell her own story, even her the latest episode of Insecure, where she falls at the beginning of the episode and she lays on the floor for an abnormally long time. Mm-hmm. It was just so a different position than what people are willing to see Black women in.
It was so Jennifer Roberts, Julia Robertsy, you know,
yes.
romantic comedy that you would fall in love with Julia Roberts or Cameron Diaz, you know, like you would see those women do things like that, and you'd be like, oh my god, that's so funny! Like, right. that happens to me too.
Right. And just being able to be allowed to tell the multifacets of our story, because I think a lot of people think that we are so defined by our struggle that if we're not the sassy Black women that stand up for everything, or we, you know what I'm saying? Or if we not that Black man that's just like, they laid me off, ma, I gotta find another job, that there is no other stories left to be told. But that is because of the lack of diversity in the room, and also not feeling like that you can speak up in the room when you don't have real allies in the room. That's just like, sorry, my baby's all out. That aren't like, hey, I might not know about this experience, but if he or she or whoever speaking up is saying that this is a story that needs to be told, then it should be told. As a writer, Nefertari, I'm assuming that most of your experiences have been with us, like working with people that look like yourself, or has it been a lot of the times working with folk that don't look like you and have no clue?
Both.
You've had both?
I've had the experience to work with both. And I think that it's a delicate line when you're the only one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a delicate line because it's you have to know how to speak and get your point across so that it's heard,
mm-hmm.
that it's understood, and it doesn't come off as not negative, or it doesn't come off as stereotypical.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a delicate like dance. It's the same thing that we have, you know how we have to have two different hats?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But you're always hopeful that there's somebody who's willing to listen and say, that's a great idea. And maybe mm-hmm. expound on the idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I've had to work with both. But then.
And as we knew was going to happen, we have our co-host, Breisha.
I turned it off.
Nobody believes you. Nobody believes you.
It is melted. I don't know why my phone do this.
Nobody believes you, Breisha.
It happens every time.
The show is now official, is what Auntie Kelly said, because if it's not official until Breisha phone rings, okay?
And I really tried. I turned off my notifications.
Nobody believes anything you're saying, Breisha.
I am, Issa. I am too. I too am awkward.
But I'm sorry, Nefertari, you were in the middle of talking before Breisha got her phone call from whomever that might have been.
That's it. I mean, you guys like in the rooms with us, it's like it's a different, I don't want to say fight because I don't want it to sound negative, but it's a different thing, you know.
Yeah,
it's like we may just have conflicting ideas on what we think or where we think the story should go. So
yeah, I think that's probably, wow, Nefertari is a professional writer, okay? Let's just put professional, okay? Let's just get that clear. So I'm sure in your experiences as a writer, there's a part of you that as a Black woman is having to consider a lot more things that, like, as far as in how you have to finesse stuff, the way you have to approach stuff that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, like, the fact that you even have to kind of, like you said before, like, making sure it doesn't seem too angry to anything like that, mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't have to. They just are able to pitch their idea or refute somebody else's idea and not have to think about those things of how they're being received,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Yeah. So I can't even, as someone who is a now budding writer, that's the reason I only write for myself, because then I Well, no, I write for myself because then I can just have arguments with myself and not with other with other people. I couldn't imagine the amount of, I don't want to say restraint, because I'm not trying to make, I'm not trying to put you out to be someone that's easily angered or upset, but the amount of strategy that has to be put in place when pitching ideas, when shooting down somebody's ideas, when critiquing somebody's ideas, so that you are still seen as the professional writer that you are.
Absolutely.
It's difficult. It's difficult because I am one of those people that get emotional when I talk about things that I really care about.
Emotional.
I get emotional. I'm emotional. You know, so, you know, somebody shoot down an idea that I had that's about my uncle, and it's a real story. I'm be like, well, why? I mean, she brought up something that wasn't even funny.
What old Russell
did was funny and real.
Real quick, not to get off topic, but Nefertari, let's talk about this hair. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Let's unpack this.
Okay.
Let's unpack these tresses that you're giving us. Is this your revolutionary hair? Is this the I am going to fight the powers, but also snatch a man at the same time? What is going on, Nefertari?
Well, look, Brisha and I have had this conversation. I do not know how to wear wigs. I do not, unless it's for a character and I'm doing a set of sketches, or it's I'm on stage or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I can throw on a wig and give you whatever. But to like wear a wig in my real life, no. So when Brisha told me that this was, she asked me about this and it was gonna happen, I got my full on protest braids in. So I got my like set it off and straight backs or whatever. I'm like out here in these streets ready, you know, I'm fighting for
bringing it up.
I'm on the internet looking like
she's like, I'm not trying to be Cleo from Set It Off. Do not do me.
Me, I'm looking like Cleo, my straight backs to the side, whatever. And I was like, let me try to put this wig on. Brisha told me I needed to get this, like, what's the thing?
Wig grip. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Me trying. This is me. I tried today. I tried it.
You did good because you had a lot of believers in the room. So a lot of people asking, how did you get your tresses to grow so long?
Girl.
Believers in the room.
By the time COVID is over, it's, first of all, here go one of the braids hanging out because I didn't do it right. Look at
that. Look at that hang time, though.
Look at that. Honey.
That's really where my hair is.
Okay. That's beautiful.
Already out. A couple of the braids are already out because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Okay.
You got friends.
That is real sad.
Nefertari, there was one point in time, I was helping my friend get ready for her wedding, so I was running a lot of errands for her, and I put on one of my curly wigs, because curly wigs, you don't have to like, you don't have to have exactly right, just get it on. I didn't realize I had a ponytail of my real hair sticking out, a whole ponytail, not a braid, a full ponytail of pressed hair sticking out of the curly wig, like I was what's that man, Daniel Boone with the raccoon, a raccoon hat but made of curly hair and then pressed black hair. So your one braid sticking out,
yeah.
I don't feel like that's a fail. I don't feel like that's a fail.
Hair.
But look at you.
Look at you.
So how many wigs do you got? If this, because this is a good wig, that like this is cute. Like,
yeah.
I ordered her last year,
mm-hmm.
and I have more character stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I still have wigs from, like, Fantasia, Ashanti, Michelle Obama, like, all of those, that type of stuff. But like, to
they're usually synthetic, because we don't need that much.
Those are all, like, all my character stuff is, like, shake them out and then try to, like, look like a character.
Uh-huh.
But this is an actual human hair one.
She's cute.
Y'all like her?
She is really cute. You could
that
tell
really her. Works on you. That works on you. On somebody else, it might not work as well, but that works really well on you. And the way you styled her by pulling her back and giving her a little bit of like a cute little like innocent look, it works. It
could have been Nanda Lewis from BET MTV back in the day. Like,
yeah.
Damn, you know, hey, Marie. Just one thing I meant to be. This is one thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Girls, that chick angel and Grisha Webb.
You know, that's what we're here to do. Nefertari, I want to give people a little bit more of your background before we close it out, because I really think that more people need to know about you, because I think you're phenomenal. Every time I see your name pop up in somebody's ending credits, I'm like, what? She's cold. And then I would send Nefertari. I think I sent you a DM once because I do voiceover work, and I would see you pop. I think three shows I worked on, you popped up on the screen while I was doing voiceover work. I was like, okay, so somebody's working. And her name is Nefertari Spencer. So I want to give a little bit more of your credits for people to kind of to more so know about you, because here's the thing. I was telling this to Brisha because when we were thinking about things we wanted to create while we're in this time of quarantine and not being able to work in our industry, I really wish I could create something to show like how dope a lot of these actors are, that, you know, we don't get a lot of depth in the things we audition for. We're usually accessory characters at most. So the depth is usually given to the lead. And so we don't get a chance to like show what we can do. And you see ain't moves. I'm sorry. If y'all watch, you see my child, go ask your father whatever it is, because I can't help you right now. But there's so much talent and depth in so many people that people don't know about. They have no idea. Like, there is a surplus of talented Black women that so many people in America, including Black America, have no idea that exists. So when they be shocked, like, oh my God, this person is just like, no, she been dope. You just didn't know.
Yeah.
So I do want to go through some of the stuff that you've done. And one of the things, the first time I ever, and Brisha, you can add on to it. One of the first things that I noticed Nefertari in was a sketch group that she created, Delta Force 3. There was Delta Elite Force?
Elite Delta Force 3.
Okay, I was putting everything in the wrong order. Elite Delta Force 3. This was a sketch group that was, I didn't know at the time, was doing live sketches. I only knew you all from y'all's film sketches. This is back in the like single 2000s, yeah, right? Like, so yes, 2009. The reason why I knew about them is because me, Brisha, and our girlfriend Denora were writing sketches. We were doing the Car Jacksons at the time and stuff. And you all were some of the only other Black women I saw
doing sketches.
Yeah, creating contests. They did the Real Housewives of the Civil Rights. And when I tell you that thing blessed my soul, and when I saw Essence do a write up on you all, I was like, hell yes. I was like, absolutely. So not only is Nefertari multi-hyphenated in the fact that she's an actor and a writer and a comedian, she's also a pioneer, because please believe, there weren't many of us doing it. There weren't many of us out here trying to create stuff when nobody was creating anything for us. Mm-hmm. So definitely during this quarantine time, when you're like, I need something to watch, please start searching for the sketches that Elite Delta Force 3 was creating, because truly this is before anybody was thinking of, there was very few people that were like, you know what? There's this thing called YouTube. We can put up stuff on here and create it and try to edit it together and see what happens.
Yes.
So that was the first place that I had recognized Nefertari from. But then Nefertari has guest starred on every goddamn show that exists. Okay. She did. What was the I was about to call it Law and Order. It was one of the true crimes.
Oh, the Menendez murders.
The Menendez murders. What was the full title though? It's like true crime. Is it American Crimes?
It was Law and Order, the Menendez murders.
Law and Order, the Menendez murders. I was like, Nefertari, I saw you. She was also on BET The Quad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was one other thing. I'm telling you, I was like, Nefertari, when you auditioning, because I'm not getting these auditionings that you go. <Yeah. laughs>
Listen.
And then also, like Brescia said, Sherman Showcase, which I want to say is one of the funniest musical sketch shows that have ever hit the world. Were you a writer on the show as well, or were you just
not a staff writer? So I get to go in and pitch ideas and stuff. So the two creators, Bashir and Diallo, we created our very first sketch group together. As a group called Cleo's Apartment. So Bashir, Salahuddin, and Diallo. So Bashir is actually Sherman, and Diallo plays Dutch. He plays the producer on the show. So and Diallo was on Marlon.
Marlon. And I did their first pilot.
Oh, yeah. The Marlon Brothers in Atlanta, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We started a sketch group together. And then, so what happened was, then I ended up testing for Saturday Night Live. And I was the only Black woman there that particular year. And this was the year that Maya Rudolph left. And it was me, the only Black people to test. It was me, Jordan Peele, and Donald Glover.
Wow. Look at the company she keeps.
Nobody.
Drop it. Who got selected? None of them. Who are the stars? All of them.
No. I'm still relatively unknown. You know what I mean? In terms of like the masses, like relatively unknown. But I that's going to change.
Yeah, it is. Come on. I feel that.
So then what happened was those guys ended up going to write for Fallon. And actually before that, but when I didn't get it, I got a standing ovation. I didn't get it. And I was like, wait, what? Why? What happened? And so I was like, you know what? I'm creating my own.
Yes.
And I reached back to all the girls that I knew who was performing and that I would see. Because it was just at the time when I was studying at like Groundlings and Improv Olympic, it was no other Black women there. It was only maybe like one other here or one other there. So the girls that I knew, I just reached back and was like, yo, I'm about to put this show together. Let's do this. I was like, we playing all the characters. We playing all the roles. And I was like, we ain't doing no stereotypical nothing. I was like, we not sassy. We not mammy. We not nothing. So I directed that show. We rehearsed in my living room. Our very, very first show, Vanessa Bell Calloway was the one who put us up because she owned at the time.
Over there in Leimert Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that little.
Yep, she owned a spot in Leimert Park. So she was doing this thing, like this monthly or weekly thing. And so I was like, she reached out to me and I was like, I got this thing. Can we perform for you? And so that was our first time performing. And then, so I started, because I was studying at Improv Olympic, I entered us into the sketch competitions, and we would win audience award every year. So we'd always perform there. But I wanna, since we were talking about history, I came out here to direct.
And really?
I came out here to direct. I'm gonna get back into that 100%. I came out here to direct, but I could never DGA. I couldn't get in for some reason. I don't understand why I could never get into the DGA. Like, I was taking the test so I can be an AD, and I was an AD in Chicago. And my 1 year right after college, it was like the youngest assistant working for broadcast television. And I left that job and was like, I'm going to LA anyway. So I ended up working production. I coordinated shows with Chuck Lorre, Jamie Foxx.
Wow. And
landed on the Bernie Mac show.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago. He was the one who was like, you funny. Stop hiding.
Mm.
Like, okay. And I was like, Bernie, me and my friends, me, Bashir and Diallo, I was like, we created this sketch group. I was like, but we don't have money to perform at a theater. I was like, if can we perform for the crew at lunchtime? And I was like, and if they laugh, will you give us money? He was like, yeah. And you know how he is. And he was like, I'm going to tell them mofos not to laugh. Don't give you no money. And he did. He got up there and was like, y'all know her. Don't give her no mercy. Just only laugh if you feel it. That's how he introduced us.
Damn.
Wow. Damn.
We killed them. And this is like a crew that's predominantly white, except for the cast mostly. And so he gave us money. That's how we got our first money to perform with my other group. But the girls, that was me and Angie. Angela Yarbrough, Indira, Robin Thede. Robin has gone on to
Black Lady Sketch.
Lachey Thomason Boyce, Nika,
my King soul. Is
on, what's the show
with HBO? The drugs show.
Yeah, she's on that
Euphoria.
Show. Euphoria. Yeah, Euphoria, which I love. It's great.
Oh, Nakia. I didn't even hear y'all say the name, so I didn't know. I would have said the name of the show. I was like, what are y'all's who? Huh?
Yeah, Gabby Turner, she's doing so many wonderful things too. Everybody is doing great. I'm really proud of these girls. Like, I really am. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, if you want to go and see some of our old sketches, like the video stuff that we shot. So how I tailored the show was that I never wanted there to be an empty space. So when we would perform live, you would see the live sketches. And then when it would go to black, you would look at the screen and it would be a video sketch.
Yeah.
So a lot of those video sketches you'll see on YouTube, it's like EDF3 comedy or Elite Delta Force 3 comedy. You'll see a lot of that stuff. A lot of that stuff I directed. Yeah, except for the Real Housewives of Civil Rights, I called in a favor with Ken Whittingham, who's a director here. He does a lot, and he directed that for us.
Well, I didn't know that you planned on being a director, because I would have been done. Used you, because let me tell you, the Lord made it very clear the things that that I can do. Mm-hmm. I can produce.
Uh-huh.
I can write and I can act.
I write too, because all of the Car Jacksons she directed. Don't you play with me.
I did. Praise God. I did. But I don't get as much joy. Let me put it like this. The joy, when joy comes out, it's not so much in directing. Joy comes into producing and writing and acting in it. But I love, like, for my web series, I hired a director. I was like, I don't want to direct this. Somebody else direct this. I don't want to do it. Somebody else do it. So I'm glad to know, Nefertari, so that when I write something big, I can be like, I already have a woman of color signed on to direct it. Nefertari Spencer, see if she can pencil it in, because she's busy. She's booked. She's blessed. She's blessed. But yeah, I thank you. First of all, it was such a surprise when Bruce called me. What was that? Is that your phone?
That's me. That's my computer.
Okay, I heard it earlier and I was like, who did that?
It wasn't me.
When Brisha surprised me and called me and said, Nefertari said that she could do it today, I was so ecstatic, because I really am a fan of yours. And I can't wait till more people know about you, because I really do feel like your talent in so many areas is underappreciated. And when people really catch wind, you're going to be out of here. Like, beep. So I'm glad we got you on this level, because I know that, you know, once you go to the next level, you're going to be too booked to be able to get you on Hold On To Your Edges.
Very loyal.
What'd you say?
I'm very loyal.
You're loyal?
I'm very loyal, and I've always been one to always, like, I've been the girl who goes like this. If I'm going, come on, you ready?
It's so rare in this town, and that's why we're all the same type of spirit of women. And what I hate about women of color, and we get this rap of being Hollywood actresses, and that we're all solely for ourselves individually. And that's not who we are. There's examples of us who say, hey, I need you on my show. Can you do my show? I'll do your show. Oh, I got this audition. I read it. I'm going in tomorrow, but I can see you doing it too.
Yeah.
Come on and take this. And that's the way it should be, because there's room at the table for all of us.
Right.
And so, you know, as much as we start putting that forth, I hope that the higher powers that be, and just how Bernie Mac saw your talent at the beginning and took a chance and, you know, you got a standing ovation, that people and that are at that level can also see people that are just as talented in directing and say, I want to give this person a shot, because they give their friends a shot all the damn time. But we're just so excited and so happy to be invited to the table.
Yeah.
So we stop and we go, this is as much as I can do. But what I hope can happen now is, like, you can be like a mentee to one of these directors that are directing lots of things, and that you can sit across from them and they say, you know, I want to give her a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help bring her forward. You know, if this is the vision that she wants, if she wants to complete that, I'm going to help. That's what it takes for us.
Yeah.
For us, by us, FUBU, real FUBU.
Yeah. Right. I hope, I hope enough of us are able to come together in the appreciation of what we can bring to the table to build our own table as Black women, because there's enough talent between those of us. It's the only thing we have to fight against a lot of times is the discouragement that has come over time of, like, hustling so hard and trying to be the thing that we think everybody wants us to be able to get the job, to be able to get into the room, to be able to be respected. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we have to fight against that discouragement, but I realize because while I think I am the shit, I am. Yeah. I realize there's a whole bunch of other Black women that are the shit. Yeah. And I'm hoping that one day, like I said, we'll be able to join forces and build our own table and just be like, yup, like we eating real good on this table that we didn't set up for us. And since you didn't want to have us at your table, don't worry. We're not going to sit out here and starve. Because we have so many, you know what I'm saying? We have so many. We are so creative. We are so ordained to do what we're doing that I don't feel like it's about a yes or no from someone else. It's a yes or no from ourselves. Yeah. So
exactly. Yeah. And I'm sick of being their idea of what Black women are supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know? When we can be comfortable in who we are, we know our walk. We know that I will just say something and go like this. Mm-hmm. Too much for camera. That's sweet. Pull that back. We're like, wow. This is how we talk.
Right. Yeah. This is what I would have did.
This is what I would have done.
Right.
Okay.
So, Nefertari, we like to end every episode with a lay your edges down. Moment. And I think, Brisha, if you agree with me, I think a good lay your edges down for the trajectory of what this episode has been, the whole like arc of this episode, maybe we should take it back and give people a lay your edges down moment that is more of a reflection of how you can be a part of different ways you could potentially be a part of the movement. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like there's a lot of angst, and not just Black people, but even, you know, non-Black people that watch this that have angst of how can I be a part? I don't know what to do. You know, I don't want to just be the type of person that only posts something on Instagram and then don't do nothing else. Yeah. Like, and there can be a lot of anxiety in that, because this is something that, like, it is hard. I'm not going to even try to play like it's easy to figure out what to do to stop the brutality of Black people. It's like, no, what truly, what can you do? What should you do? What are the options that you can possibly do to be a part in actually having some sort of part in the change that is coming? And that's what I do feel. I feel a change. You can feel a shift.
Yeah.
In this country feel it. Oh, I feel the day of reckoning is coming and it feels good in my spirit. Mm-hmm. So maybe can we make that our lay your edges down, like ways in which you can help ease some of your anxiety by participating in the movement, right? Do you want to go first, Brisha?
I can go first.
Go ahead.
How I can participate in the movement, not how I can inspire other people. I'm just making sure I'm saying
no, either like giving people ideas, even if it's just the way you've done, you can just share what you've done, and somebody might be like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's again making people comfortable to be uncomfortable, letting people know of, you know, other races that they just need to listen right now. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to not have any answers or solutions, but you can at least listen and be patient with yourself as you download. I mean, because we're talking about centuries mm-hmm. of oppression. We're talking about a whole system that was built not for us, mm-hmm. you know? So to download that all in a week and to say that you thought something was one way and now it's completely not, and you're just getting all of this thrown at you all at once. You know, I just tell people to be patient with themselves, and I'm being patient with myself, mm-hmm. you know, and to meditate on where we are going and what you want to be in the world. You know, how are you going to make yourself effective in the world? You know, how will I make myself better in the circles and in the work environments that I go into? You know, I can't be so snapping the hands like, well, you don't get it, then get the fuck out of bed. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. That. Because there's some people that really do want to learn, and I have to be at peace and I have to be patient with them as they learn, you know. But there's ways that you can learn, and there's ways that we can stamp up the ignorance mm-hmm. at the same time, you know. So really just telling people right now just to listen, because a lot of people just don't know how to listen. They want to have solutions already, and it's like, you don't have a solution, but what you can do is talk to your crazy racist friends, okay? Mm-hmm. That is what you can do to help me lay my edges down, is to know that I have an ally, a friend. You can't be my friend and also not be a part of my movement mm-hmm. and pushing my movement forward, for me to feel comfortable to have children, for me to feel comfortable to love your children. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a teacher of children how to love Black people.
Mm-hmm. For me, that's why I took the day off. I think it was on Tuesday, because I'm not going to pretend like I have the answers. I have so many things I'm doing for my family that like my life is kind of consumed by them. By being okay with being like, let me actually research and figure out what ways that I can be a part. And it literally took Google to tell me, Angel, here are some ways you can help with Black Lives Matter. It's actually that simple for any person of any color. I went to Black Lives Matter Los Angeles. They have chapters all around the U.S. And they had given me my first idea, which was to sit in on a council member meeting to talk about the budget of defunding the police. And lo and behold, that is what's now happening in Los Angeles, is that they're putting together another budget to help defund the police. And I was able to send a tweet out. I was able to participate in the council meeting where those decisions were being able to be made. It wasn't that I woke up that morning and was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit in on a council meeting.
That's not me.
Definitely Nefertari.
Normally does not do this.
When it's not supposed to.
But I gave myself that grace that I know I didn't come out the womb as Angela Davis. I don't know all the things about government that would allow me to know what is the first step, next step, the next step, the final step. Like I majored in acting. I did not major in political science. So allowing yourself to not have an ego and know, you know what? I might be a little ignorant about how to bring about change, and feeling okay to do Google. I got so much information from USA Today. It could have been a white person that wrote the article, but they were very helpful. They were very, very helpful. And they helped give me the links to all the different organizations that were taking donations for Black Lives Matter or for specifically George Floyd's Memorial Fund or the actual council, like Justice for George Floyd, as well as
you can donate to your own bail fund.
Yes, that's how I found that out. I was like, oh yeah, I'm not going to protest, but I know people are going to get arrested. How can I assist those people? I can donate to their bail fund. These were not things that I knew when I woke up on Tuesday. They were things that I Googled on Tuesday morning and allowed them to teach me what to do. So if you are looking for ways, while I did post those on my own Instagram so people following me could see that, because I don't want to be like, I understand I'm not trying to be no showboat and be like, this is what I did. But I also know that me holding the information to myself is not useful. You know what I'm saying? It's not as useful as if I'm like, these are the things that I found out. You too can do these things. So lay your edges down by being okay with letting go of any ego that you feel like you have to have as a Black person to feel like you're so tapped into the movement that you know all the things. I don't know all the things, but I don't mind researching them. So Google is your friend.
That's good.
Nefertari, you going to lay these people's edges down anyway? What you going to tell them?
So first, my first thing is I'm going to give me a little toothbrush. That's what I'm going to do. Brush out first so I can start with these edges. I think every day what I'm learning to do is to just be okay with me. A lot of times I feel like we feel like there's a pressure for us to do it all and to make these decisions and to be this and to do that and to be this and to do that. And I think it's okay for us to just take it one day at a time. Movement for me, what it's been is like I get up and I decide, first of all, I don't watch the news immediately. I just chill and I try to be a person because it's a lot. I'm not going to pretend that this has mentally not been heavy. It's been very heavy. And so I've been really trying to focus on my mental wellness because I know that for me, what I want to do is create a platform and I want to have a table that we talk about where I get to pull everybody to come and be at the table. So for me, I'm really working on my mental through all of this because I need to be okay because I know that down the line, I want to be in a position to bring people forward to help the movement continue by telling our stories and telling the stories that we want to hear and telling the stories that we want to see. That's the movement. And also I'm going to be out there in the streets to continue to march for us so that we can make this happen.
Just listen, you just make sure you spray down that unit with disinfectant when you come back in.
This is me. I went about like the medical grade alcohol. Like, amen. I got my whole self down with the alcohol. I got all the current on deck everywhere. Yeah.
That's right.
Now I'm saying I'm gonna go and do a protest. And we told, you know, I said we were going to go do the peaceful protest together. And I'm already making a concoction that I can spray as I walk.
This is,
you know, walk into the mist.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yes. All I'm breathing in is the stuff that I made.
Yeah. Worst scenario, my cousin's a doctor, was like, if you got some vodka, that's a disinfectant.
Hey.
So I got like, you know, you'd be like...
What about tequila? Because I got a bunch of that in my system right now.
Well, then I think you're COVID free, girl.
Amen. Oh, well, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to. Thank you so much for tuning into our extra large size of Hold On to Your Head. We thank you so much for tuning in. We want to say a special thank you to our guest, Nefertari Spencer.
Watch Sherman Showcase on June 19th. She's so funny. She is doing so many different characters. I'm on it as well. You have a good giggle gaggle.
Yes.
And celebrate Juneteenth.
Yes. Her Janet Jackson is great.
Oh, and the Southside. Do you know when that airs?
the Janet Jackson thing, I don't think is actually going to air, but it's on my Instagram.
It's on Instagram. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, follow her on social media at where, Nefertari?
So it's my first name, which is, if I don't know, can y'all see my name? Because
there are people that are on that are only listening and not watching because it's a podcast. So go ahead and spell it for them.
It's Nefertari S. So N like Nancy, E F like Frank, E A R I S like Spencer. So at Nefertari S on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow this podcast at Hold On To Your Edges. I think it might be Hold On To Your Edges podcast. I can't even remember. You can follow me at That Chick Angel. And Breesha, where can they follow you?
Follow me back at Breesha Webb, BreeshaWebb. And if you don't know, look it up. Google it.
This is Hold On To Your Edges podcast. Please make sure if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts that you are rating and reviewing us. It makes us so much more discoverable and we really appreciate it. Again, a special shout out to my Patreon that's watching this live and being a part of the conversation. I call them my immediate family. They call themselves Angel Wings. I greatly appreciate you all. I know. They let me fly. They let me rise. I love them. I love all of them. And
their paintings from the
company. Yeah, I'm gonna ask Nefertari as soon as we close it out. But yes, please come back next week. Me and Breesha have been having a great time doing this. Is one of the beautiful things that have come out of quarantine is us being able to do this and have a good time, just giving a different narrative of Black women, and also bonding around the commonality of we want to keep our edges. But you know what? So hold on to them, because next week, guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna snatch them right up out of your field. So until next week, you guys, hold on to your edges, be safe, and keep fighting the good fight.
Right. And then hugs out to everyone.
Can y'all hear that?
Good night, guys. Bye.